If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
The sacred text of Psalm 23. There is an interesting thought developing. He makes me. You understand the urgency of the verb. He maketh me. Now I'm going to talk to mamas. Mamas, especially those of you that have young ones. It's nap time. They don't want to lay down because there are so many other distractions. But the wise mama knows that Junior needs, so you will. The verb suggests that though you want to be stressed, the good shepherd maketh you to lie down. You say, Pastor, how does God make me lay down? By causing everything else you want to do to fail, and you have nowhere else to go but to lay down and let the shepherd take care of you. He makes me lie down. This thought is unfolding through these passages. Something is evolving. Something is moving. David's teaching a concept. The Lord, my shepherd, I'm not in want. He makes me lie down, but he's very specific about where. He does not make me lay down in thorny places full of dryness and anxiety and frustration. He makes me lie down in green pastures. No rocks, no thorns, no thistles. No briar patches, just green grass. He makes me. Y'all, you better get it. God does not lead me into dry places. I may find him in a dry place. Moses was on the backside of the desert. The backside of the desert is a term that means this is the part of the desert that gets no sunlight. Therefore, there's no vegetation. God did not lead him there to keep him there. He went there of his own volition. But while he's in the backside of the desert, he gets a glimpse of the greatness of God. God does not call him to the backside of the desert. God calls him to the mountaintop, that you may have a revelation of who God is. But you will not get that revelation until you've reached the end of yourself. So he makes you. David is trying to bring out. Turn. You got your Bible, Q? Turn to the Ten Commandments. It's somewhere in Exodus. He'll find it. David is trying to get him a mic. Make sure it's turned on. Q, I want you to read number 4.
Number 4.
The fourth commandment.
Oh, okay. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth.
Watch what this passage, this command. God says, don't make any graven images. Don't build anything to worship. Because you're going to build it based on your own understanding. And it'll always let you down. So I'm going to teach you me. I don't want you, I'm not forbidding you to build idols just because I have nothing to do. I'm forbidding idols so that you don't have competitions in your own mind. Why? Because that is conflicting. It causes mental duress. It causes spiritual schizophrenia and unrest. What's the third one?
Thou shalt have no other God before me.
You can't even have a God before me. Don't put anything before me. Who's your shepherd?
The Lord.
Who watches over you?
The Lord.
No other God. There's a progression in reverse. Read the second one.
I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I think I'm reading the wrong one. Oh, no, that's it. Oh, that's it. Out of the house of bondage.
You link two together. I'm the one that brought you out. Can't have another God before me. And you better not make any idols. Anything that will turn your mind away from me and what I aim to do in your life, leave it alone. Now watch this. Bring me your Bible. After they are given these directives, he takes them to the fourth commandment. Not the fourth verse. What's the fourth commandment? Remember the Sabbath day. Now here is where we struggle. But I'm going to tell you that Psalm 23 is a Sabbath psalm. For it represents the absence of anxiety. Don't have any other gods. Stay true to me and rest. Look what God just did. He removes the whole capitalistic structure. Some of you in here now working 2-3 jobs. Why? To keep up. God said, I'm your shepherd. He's sitting up there saying, why are you doing that? Why are you working 2-3 jobs? What's going on? You don't think I have enough resources for you? Nope. So why are you making a God out of all of that? Well, you know, you got to keep it moving. 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 God says, no, 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 no. You don't have to keep it moving because keeping it moving is capitalistic. Rest is Psalm 23. Watch now. What does the baby do most of? Why do they sleep? They have nothing else to do. Now, even when they grow older, you good parents, you don't even let them carry a bag of groceries. They say, Mommy, Daddy, can I help? No, wait till you get older. That's what God says. You say, God, can I worry? No, wait till you get older. I'll take care of that. God, you can't take care of that. You're out of touch. So I'm going to have another God called the God of the third job. And I'm going to worship him so much that I can't even come to prayer. See, I love him so much that I can't come to Bible study. I can't come to Bible school. I can't take classes because, see, I'm with my third God. Now, I know some of you are, you know, you're thinking, all right, but Pastor, you tell me I got to get out of debt. So I got to work to get out of debt. Wrong answer. Flip the script. Why are you in debt? Because you worship the plastic. How many of you worship the plastic? Oh, there you go. Your God's name is not Molech. Your God's name is not any of them in the Bible. Your God's name is MasterCard, Visa, Sears, Discover, JCPenney, Macy's. Your God's name is American Express. And all those gods, they lead you into bondage. Psalm 23, he says, the Lord my shepherd, because of who he is, I don't live in want. He didn't say need. Let me rephrase. I shall not lack. It's an old English word, want. It's not translated the way you and I translate want. I want dinner. You're not lacking food. You just want dinner. But I shall not lack. Now, why would David say that? Because his sheep never lacked. Why? He was a good shepherd. How can you lack and have a shepherd? Okay, look at this. He says, I love this. He makes me. Makes me. In green pastures. Look at this. He leads me. Another imperative with a TH. That means it's in the perfect tense, which means it's a, I should say the aorist tense. It's in the aorist tense, which means it's an ongoing action. God doesn't just lead you once. He leads you in perpetuity. But check it out. His style of leadership changes as you grow older. I do not need to converse with my daughter the way I did when she was six. He leads me, but I don't need to quicken every time. Oh, that's God. No, sometimes he'll lead me through tears. Sometimes he'll lead me, listen, through extraction by taking some folks away. You pray and ask God to bring you closer to him, but then you got all these folk in the way that's keeping you from getting there. Then when he removes them, you say, God, why did you take them? He said, because you asked to get closer to me. They don't want to be where you are. They don't have the same goals that you have. They don't want the same place in God that you do. Why are you angry with me? Because I'm answering your prayer. He leadeth me. But now David becomes specific. He no longer deals in the uncertainty, the ambiguity of the leading. For many of you say, I'm not sure God is leading me because I see no substantive results. I don't know if God is leading me. David said he leads me to one specific place. Again, he's drawing on his shepherd's experience. He knows something about the sheep. He knows sheep are afraid of rushing water. He knows that when they're exposed to rushing water, they draw back and they become filled with anxiety because they know that if their wool gets too wet, they drown because they can't swim. You've never seen sheep ford a river. You'll see cows go over. You'll see horses go over. Dogs will go over. But if sheep wool gets too wet, they sink and drown. So they have an aversion to rushing water. They don't like it. They won't go near it. So the shepherd knows that. But the Bible says later that God doesn't give you more than you can bear. That means he won't lead you any place that generates fear. Because fear has torment, and it's of the devil. So one of the ways you know where God is leading you is if there's fear, he ain't leading you. He leads his sheep. There he is again. Leading! Let's go back to the parent. The parent takes the two-year-old by the hand. Why? Because they're getting ready to cross the street. The parent does not take the two-year-old and say, go on over. No, they say, wait for me. Why do I need you? Because you do not know how to cross the street. So I will take you by the hand and I will lead you. Lord, help me. God says you do not know how to go into those pastures. You do not know how to even find green pastures. So I will lead you. I will guide you. This is the leading. That's leading. This is the guiding. What was imperative? Yeah! He had to keep his eyes on me. He didn't have to keep his eyes on me when I was leading him. But in order to be guided, he had to look at me. Keep your eyes on the shepherd. You might not get a voice, but you will get direction. David suggests in the Sabbath rest, I strive for guidance. Guidance then becomes maturity. I need not be pulled. I need only keep my eyes on him. He tells me where to go as I keep my David. Recognize this with his sheep, because good shepherds, they know that they have to guide their sheep, because sheep are stubborn and opinionated and capitalistic and stupid. Yes, yes. They love high grass because they believe that I can eat to my heart's content. Sheep are fat as, they're fat as hogs. No such thing as a skinny sheep. Sheep are fat, fat as pigs. You ever see one get sheared? I'm talking about a full grown one. They are huge. Because all they do is sit around all day and eat. They have no bottom teeth, just top teeth. They have, but their bottom jaw is so hard that they can mash up the grass, swallow it. They're weird. Why didn't God say, all of us like horses? A horse is a beautiful animal. A noble steed. I mean, when you look at a horse, you just want to bow. Jesus is coming back on a horse, not a sheep. Beautiful. When you see horses, they represent strength, power, majesty. But sheep, you see sheep, all you think of is sweaters and mint jelly. But God uses them as the metaphor of us. Why? Because they are dependent upon the shepherd. No other animal is dependent upon a shepherd. Some can be corralled, but they develop their own minds. Sheep wander. Here's why sheep wander. Sheep don't wander because they're rebellious. Sheep wander because they're hungry. And they go where the food is. And they don't look. So the shepherd is, get over here. There's a wolf over there. Bah, God is leading me. Bah, God is leading me. Bah, and the Lord told me to go. Bah. Get back over here. There's a wolf over there. Bah, you just trying to hold me back. Bah, you just won't let me move in my anointing. Bah. Come here. Bah. You just don't like women preachers. Bah. But there's a wolf over there. I have to leave you 90 and 9. You all just wait. I'm going after that one. Pow! I broke his back leg. I didn't break the front one because I want him to be able to pull himself forward. I broke the back one so they can't propel themselves and leave. Then I pick them up and I wrap them around my shoulder. And I bring them back. And I put them right back with the rest who lay them out. Bah, where you think you were going? Bah, think you're better than us? Bah, guess he showed you. Bah. David, the central theme here. It's not what God does. It's who he is. David develops the relationship. Because I have a good God who demands that I worship him only, who demands that I have no idols, he fills that religious void with Sabbath rest. I submit to you that 80% of you in here don't know what rest is. You know what sleep is, but you don't know what rest is. You toss it, you turn, you're up every hour. You just, all the time. You don't know what rest is. Because rest is not just sleep. Rest is when your eyes are open. Rest is Forrest Gump. Forrest was at rest. Bubba's the best friend I ever had. Forrest was at rest. We followed Lieutenant Dan through big raindrops. Sometimes it felt like the rain was coming up from the ground. Sometimes there was itty-bitty stinging rain that came sideways. And then all of a sudden, the rain would stop. And there were some good young men with me in my platoon. There was Tex from California. There was Memphis from New York. But he was always at rest. He never seemed to have any anxiety. He releases his boat during the storm. And all the others were tied up and they were destroyed. He's out there on the water with his boat. And he's the only shrimp boat captain who's able to get shrimp. And he created the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company. Because he was so at rest that he understood the principle of God. This is my narrative now. That God doesn't want you tied up on the port of anxiety. He wants you out there in the, listen carefully, to the so-called paradoxical peace of the storm. Jesus took the boys out on the water, knowing a storm was coming, to show his power. Even from the physical law of aerodynamics, the bird flies into the storm to be lifted above the storm. Why? Because the Lord, my shepherd, engineers escapes through the negative. So what must I do? R-E-S-T. What must I do?
Rest.
Why? The Lord, my shepherd. And I have no lack. Don't raise your hand, but is there anyone here today that's lacking? If you're lacking, then you don't know that the Lord is your shepherd. And here's what we do. We don't see that he's provided. Because the capitalistic mindset continues to portray needs where there are none. So you don't know that he's provided. All right, now, this is for the mature ones. This is for the mature ones. There are two phrases. I want a spouse, or I need a spouse. If you say, I want a spouse, that is legitimate. That is legitimate. Because you can want something. But if you say, I need one, and don't have one, then your shepherd is a liar. He has just left you in lack. You can't need and have God. It's not possible. It's not possible. It's not possible. The very nature of God, the shepherd, prohibits him from letting you have a need that is not supplied. The very nature of your shepherd keeps him from allowing his sheep to have need and not supply. If you need it and don't have it, if you say you need it and you don't have it, then you're saying God's a liar. Watch this. You have just invalidated Psalm 23. You can change yours to say, the Lord my shepherd, I am in lack. Well, if you could see your faces. Who we think he talking to? I believe God gonna give me somebody. Yeah, I didn't say you couldn't believe. I said don't say you need it. Because the very nature of need means that God has not met your need. And the Bible does not allow that theory. Watch. I'll take it off of that because I made you significantly angry. I need a job. No, you don't. No, you don't. The capitalistic society told you that you needed it. But God says, you might want one, but I'm not giving you one right now. But did you ever notice this strange thing? You might not have the job, but your bills are being paid. You can't even point to how. Now watch. We get back to the why. You're prideful and arrogant while you work. I don't need nobody. You just me and Jesus. Me and Jesus, we can handle everything. I've been working since I was 10. Praise God. I don't need nobody. God says, you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I got all these bills. God said, okay, you and you and you and you, give them what they need. It humbles you to have to accept it. And if you humble yourself, God can exalt you. But you never knew you were arrogant until you were dependent upon the shepherd who brought in other sheep who learned how to be blessings rather than have blessings, but you won't allow it to happen. 117 references in the Bible about one anothering. 117 references in the Bible about one anothering, and yet we won't let people one another us. So what does the shepherd do? He hits your fleshly provision so you can be one anothered. In other words, taking you back to childhood. Well, he'll advance you later, but when he does it, you won't be arrogant. You will be humble. But all of this revolves around rest. David says the sheep simply need to learn how to rest. Why do you have so much anxiety? Why are you worried about tomorrow? I just want things to be right. It aggravates me. I rush to get to the airport 2 hours before the flight, sometimes more than 2 hours. I get to the airport. I get up at an ungodly hour. Sister Lambert does not always like the times that we have to get up. But I get up at an ungodly hour. Get on that plane, times more than 2 hours. I get to the airport. I get up at an ungodly hour. Sister Lambert does not always like the times that we have to get up. But I get up at an ungodly hour. Get on that plane as soon as the boarding. Not pre-boarding. As soon as the boarding begins, we're right there to get on that plane. I'm all charged up. I brag inside. I was on time, Coop. I was there early. I had time to get a cup of coffee. Time to get in there and put my bag in the overhead. I'm on time. They close the doors 10 minutes before departure time. And as sure as God is Jehovah, there will be somebody living a bohemian lifestyle who will drag their narrow behind through that door 5 minutes before the door's about to close and get their seat right in front of me. Now I have ripped and rushed and oh God. Ah, and they're like, oh man, I just got up 20 minutes ago. Had to get a ride. I made it through the inspection security. Wasn't nobody there. Yeah, because they were all like me and got there 2 hours early. And they sit down, they even have storage space. And you sit there saying, my goodness, I did all that ripping and running. And this person, I got up at 5:30. Flight leaves at 10 o'clock. They got up at 9:30. Slept in their clothes. Just threw stuff in a carry-on bag. And dumped it in the overhead and sat down and acted like they've been there all day. And you sitting there wondering, what's wrong with this picture? God says, that's us. Trying to figure out tomorrow. Trying to determine how am I going to deal with this IRS bill. What am I going to do, Lord? My child's going to college in 18 years, and I'm not going to have the money. 18 years? I expect we'll be in Star Trek world then, and education will be free. Why do we do that? Let me finish with this. We don't have anxiety because of the trouble. On 9/11/2001, Sister Lambert and I were in Disney World. And it was kind of melancholy while we were there after the planes crashed into the towers. A lot of things shut down, and it was just a difficult time. There were no flights going out, and we were scheduled to leave there on a Thursday, and there were no flights going out. I kept calling Elder Melvis, who worked for the FAA, to find out when our flight was going to be reconnected. And he kept saying, Pastor, they're not approving any flights. And so my first thought was, we just going to stay here. And, you know, we knew that that wasn't realistic. I mean, I had to come back and pastor, and our daughter was home. And, you know, we just knew we had to come home. So we arranged for transportation to come home. And the driver finally gets us home, I don't know, sometime like 3 or 4 in the morning. We left on Thursday morning at 10 from Orlando, and I think it was like an 18-hour trip. And the guy took us to our house. And I will never forget the words of my daughter. She said, I knew you would find a way home. Now, she didn't see it, but secretly my chest stuck out 24 inches because my baby knew her father. She said, I knew you'd find a way home, Dad. You see, that knowledge causes her to rest anytime we go someplace or anytime she has to undertake anything because she knows her earthly shepherd. Your anxiety rises not because of the situation, not because the planes have crashed, but you're uncertain as to the shepherd's ability to get you to your destination. So David writes this psalm to remind you of your shepherd's supernatural ability. He's leading you. That means you don't have to hear his voice. Oh, glory. Beside the waters that do not cause you concern. Because David says that my shepherd prepares a table before me in the presence of those who hate me. But when he makes that statement, God, the shout is going to blow up. We're going to turn Kojic in here. David said, I have people who are trying to destroy me. See, this is... He prepares a table. But check this out. He doesn't say he puts a table. Table's already there. By relationship, I know that provision is coming. Table's already there. Wherever I go, God's table is already there. Wherever I am, whether I'm walking down the streets of New York City, or wherever I am, the God's table is already there. Provision comes based on the immediacy of the need. On that table, I find healing, I find deliverance, I find sustenance, I find everything I need, because on that table, my shepherd has placed a table. Where? In the presence of my enemies. So everybody who says, I'm going to fail, they're going to sit there and watch me succeed. And success is on that table. God. Jesus says, Jesus capitalizes on this concept. He says something. In John's gospel, he gives the eighth I am, epi-emi, I am that I am. He's God. He can say that. And here's what he says. to equate himself with God, he says, I'm the good shepherd. Then he says, come to me, all you that labor, and I'm going to give you perfect rest. Same thing the psalmist is saying, because Jesus and God is one. And so Jesus says, just like you come to the Father, come to me. Come to me. And I'm going to give, he didn't say I'm going to give you answers to your situation. No, I'm not even going to give you solutions all the time, but I will give you. Y'all don't hear me. I go to my dentist. My dentist puts nitrous on my nerve for everything. I get nitrous for x-rays. I'm like, come on, doc. Lay it on me. He always says this. He said, I want to get you comfortable. I said, yes, indeed. Thank you, Jesus. I make up dental problems. Doc, can I come see you? What's the matter? I got pain in my jaw. Oh, it's back there somewhere. Where is it? I don't know. You got the probe. Give me the gas. Lord have mercy. I tried to get him to sell me some. No, it ain't that bad. But when he gives me the gas, this is the thing that I notice, and I want to talk to one of my professors about it. Doctors always play elevator music. Now, elevator music is psychological. It is not designed to entertain you. It is designed to lock onto a part of your brain to give the doctor the result that he's looking for. The result that they're looking for is calming and mental distraction. Now watch. I'm under the gas, but I can hear the radio. I can't hear him talking to his aide. That's but I can hear that music because it's designed to go to another part of my brain. When the devil comes at you and begins to surround your hearing with satanic doubt, you can still hear the shepherd's voice because it resonates in that part of your spirit that's listening. Because he will never leave you without direction. So even if you are subdued by anxiety, I want to suggest to you that your shepherd will always be able to get through. And then it's up to you to obey.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
04216A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Join Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. and the Drama Ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church as they present a dramatic skit inspired by Bishop Lambert's new book, The Christian and the Culture. Come and interact with Bishop Lambert as he shares strategies for overcoming the challenges we face in today's culture. Pre-signed copies of the book will be available for purchase for $12 during this special evening. It's all taking place Wednesday, June 22nd at 7 p.m. at the Church of Christian Compassion, located at 6121 Cedar Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where W. Lonnie Herndon serves as senior pastor. For more information, call 215-885-2585.